Amen. So I want to start out by just letting you guys know, obviously, Pastor Anderson is not here. The reason why is because he's still sick, and he hates being sick. So please pray through him throughout the week, and just pray that God gets him healed up and gets him back in the battle, because that's what he loves to do, is serve him, win souls, and edify us through his preaching. Amen. So if you got Luke right there in front of you, the verses that I want to concentrate on is verse number 4 and number 5. And I like this chapter, and I think this is a good chapter for what's going on in America right now. And what I mean by that is this. Yesterday, I went to get a haircut, and I haven't seen my barber in probably 3 weeks. So, of course, you know, I run into him, and lucky enough, nobody was there. I just got right into the seat, and he's like, "How you doing?" "I'm doing great. How are you doing?" "I'm doing good, but now we got a new president." That's what he brings up. "If it ain't bad enough, we're wearing masks everywhere we go. They're trying to prepare us for the mark of the beast." Then he goes on and on and on. And I didn't even know that Biden had won. I knew something was whatever holding up the election, but I guess finally they said Biden won, and I just busted out laughing because I thought of all those moments where Donald Trump is promising how they're going to win big. "You guys are a wonderful crowd. Look at this crowd. Look how amazing this crowd is. Sleepy Joe, he only has 10 people, and they're right there in this little circle. He ain't going to win. Sleepy Joe is not going to win. We're going to win. We're going to win big. You guys are beautiful. Look at this crowd." And it gets smoke checked, amen. But whoever's in power, it doesn't make a difference. My life is going to be so sweet. If you're a Christian and you know what I'm talking about, it's not because of who's in the White House. It's because of who we serve. And when it comes to fearing, and yes, people are afraid, because you could tell he's a little bit afraid, frustrated, like, man, what's going to happen now? You know, if it's not bad enough that they stole the election or whatever, which there's some evidence that they did. You know, like dead people voting. Who's heard about that? You know, Joe Frazier, the famous boxer, supposedly voted twice in the last elections, who's been dead for a while. Not to bring this up, you know, to kind of make him feel bad, but the actor Will Smith, according to Trump, you know, the video he put up on his channel, I guess his dad, Will Smith's dad, who's been dead, I guess he voted as well. You guys hear about that? I don't know, man. This is a crazy election. And supposedly in some states, the software ended up having 7,000 votes go for Biden. It was supposed to go for Trump. Who's heard of that? At the end of the day, God is the one that put Biden in power. Right. And for a very good reason. Probably because we're relying too much on men these days to get the job done. Especially guys that aren't even saved. Because Donald Trump is not saved. If you think he is, sorry, but he is not saved. Yeah. You know, he's just a big time liar. He has no testimony. He likes being on TV all day long. He does not serve the Lord. He doesn't care about the Lord. Right. He just cares about himself and being the most powerful person on the planet. And all that boasting, all that bragging, all that money spent, it was all for nothing at the end of the day. Because unless the Lord built the house, you're laboring in vain. And unfortunately, I guess the Lord had to put somebody in power. And if you kind of do the math, when you look at Trump and you look at Biden, it is what it is. I think the lesser of the both devils ended up getting selected, whether you believe it or not. But at the end of the day, he's in power. But don't get too upset. Don't get too afraid. And see, here's the thing. The title of my sermon is this. Because, of course, the question won't be asked, man, what are we going to do with Biden in power? What are we going to do? Well, I'll throw the Trump supporters a little bit of a bone. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make Americans God-fearing again. Amen. Make Americans God-fearing again. And that's the title of my sermon, and that's why I picked Luke chapter number 12. Why? Look at verse number 4. Because Jesus Christ tells us flat out whom we should fear. And there's a lot of Republicans right now, a lot of protesters. They're afraid of Biden being in power. Maybe a lot of Arizonians because, you know, he's gone on record saying, "I'm going to take away your AR-15. I'm coming for it." And I'm not going to ask who has an AR-15, but I promise you, a lot of people are shocked how Arizona went from red to blue. But even then, some people are serious. They're getting ready for civil war. They're out in the woods firing away. They're ready to kill for freedom. They're fearful. They're ready to go to war. But Christ tells us exactly whom we shall fear. And I like this chapter because it tells you what you should and should not fear. Here's whom you should fear. Look at verse number 4. "And I say unto you, my friends," and that's what I'm doing this morning as well, to you guys. I consider you all my friends. Hopefully you guys consider me your friend. So I'm just here to tell you what Christ told the apostles 2,000 years ago. And he says, "I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him, which after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." And it's no secret who that him is. That's Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse 6. While you go there, by introduction, I just want to read something. Something that I got off the internet this morning. I think it's kind of interesting. And it's one of the main reasons why I'm preaching this sermon. And this is a survey that was done by Chapman University. I'm not really familiar with the university. I don't know where it's at. I just kind of Googled American Spheres, and this came up. And it could be fake. I don't know. It seems a little fake when you look at some of the stuff that's in it. But this is what it says. The Chapman University, they did a survey of American fears back in 2018 that supposedly provides an in-depth examination into the fears of average Americans. As of June of 2018, they sampled 1,190 adults from across the United States, and they were asked their level of fear about 94 different things. And I'll just read some really quickly because I can read pretty fast, but I think it'll be interesting some of the stuff that's on here. So here's the list. I'm going to just start from number 94. So 3% of these 1,100 adults from all over the United States, number 94 on their list of fears is animals. Dogs, rats, etc. Not to understand, I hate rats. I see one, I want to run. 93 is blood. Just finding blood, whether in a trash can, at the pulpit, whatever, it freaks them out. Others talking about you behind your back. Understandable, but not a large percentage, 6%. And then I'll just blow through some of these. Strangers, clowns, ghosts, number 87, zombies. Why is no longer being the majority in the U.S.? Really? I'm going to skip 85. You can come hit me up later, but I just hate retaining those people in my mind. But it's sharing a restroom with certain types of people. Extreme animal rightists, significant other cheating on you, number 82, flying, needles, germs. I'm going to skip 79. Apocalypse, Armageddon, extreme environmentalism, being fooled by fake news. Technology I don't understand. Where's Brother Davis? Okay. Large volcanic eruption, sexual assault by someone you know, small enclosed spaces, Antifa, number 70, demons, 69, murder by someone you know, 68, 21% of these people, they fear illegal immigration for whatever reason. Insects, number 66, this is why I think it's a little fake, but whatever, 66, the devil. 65, walking alone at night. 64, hell. 63, stalking. 62, reptiles. 61, abduction, kidnapping. Number 60, deep lakes and oceans. Public speaking. I guess public speaking went down to 59. Isn't it like the thing people fear the most other than death is public speaking? Who wants to get up here and try it? Just kidding. But it's at number 59, folks. 58, police brutality. Devastating blizzard is 57, sexual assault by a stranger, financial fraud, dying, racial hate crime, mugging, sharks may number 51. Thank you, Discovery Channel. Murder by a stranger, devastating wildfire, computers replacing people in the workplace, devastating earthquakes, devastating floods, militia, patriot movement, government using drones within the U.S. Devastating hurricanes, theft of property, heist, being unemployed, devastating tornado, break-ins, nuclear accident slash meltdown, losing my data, photos, or other important documents in a disaster, Iran using nuclear weapons on us, devastating drought, government restrictions on firearms, and all God's people say, no, I'm just kidding. Pandemic is number 32. Remember, this is 2018. It's probably up there in the top 10 now. The collapse of the electrical grid, North Korea using nuclear weapons on us, terrorism, random mass shootings, extreme anti-immigration groups, credit card fraud, nuclear weapons attack, widespread civil unrest, terrorist attacks, oil spills, becoming seriously ill, biological warfare, being hit by a truck, we're 19, I'm almost done, government tracking personal data is number 18, corporate tracking personal data, identity theft, economic financial collapse, white supremacists, Islamic extremists, the U.S. will be involved in another world war, cyber terrorism, and now we're in the top 10. Number 10, high medical bills. Number 9, global warming and climate change. Number 8, extinction of plant and animal species. Number 7, air pollution. Number 6, people I love dying. Now the top 5, biggest fears of 2018. 56% of people said people I love becoming seriously ill was a big fear among Americans. Number four, not having enough money for the future. Number three, pollution of drinking water. Number two, pollution of oceans, rivers, and lakes. And number one, can anybody guess? Corrupt government officials. Corrupt government officials. You wonder why 70 plus million people voted for Biden? Somehow they scared them into not voting for Trump. That's what happened. But I skipped one that kind of made me angry, and it was the reason why I decided, you know what? I'm going to preach on this. You know who's on that list but didn't even make the top 75, top 70, top 50, top 40, top, not even the top 10? You know who it is? I heard it. God. God is number 79 out of 93. And you wonder why crime is going up. You wonder why this country is going downhill. It's because the fear of God has disappeared. It has been taken away, which is why I'm preaching this. But this is not something that just happens overnight. This happens, in my opinion, because of failure. Whose failure? Well, it is what it is. If you look at the Old Testament, it says that the children of Israel, they grew up not knowing the Lord, and guess what happened? They got into sin. So when it comes to what God wants us to be afraid of, he doesn't want us to look at this list and start to fear. Because there's a lot of crazy stuff on this list. Amen? I mean, murder by someone you know, that's crazy. Obviously, zombies, all that, whatever. That's stupid. But in reality, God, if he were to say, hey, look at this stuff. Yeah, you know what? Look at all these things that I can do to people. I can definitely cause all these things if I want. But he says to us, he says, you know what? I don't want you to fear none of those things. Here's an example. If you have your Bible, just go to Matthew 24. Go to Matthew 24. I'm going to read from Revelation chapter number 2, verse 8. It says, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things say the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Trouble, 10 days. But some of you guys, it says here, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Yes, this was written to the church in Smyrna, but it's for us as well. Because here's the thing. We should be afraid. We should be afraid of God. We should be afraid of God that he can rain down and give us any of these 93 things that are concerns to people that are apparently a big concern to at least 1,100 Americans out there. But when it comes to the tribulation that's going to come, this is going to be way worse than we've ever seen before. So whatever you've heard, whatever you've seen, whatever you thought the government was going to do to you, you know what? That probably is going to happen. And it seems like it may happen in our lifetime. I'll be shocked if something doesn't happen in the next 50 years. I'm not saying it is, but when it comes to tribulation, when it comes to what man can do unto us, are we supposed to be fearful? Absolutely not. And in Luke 12, I like that chapter, like I said before, because it does start out by saying us whom we should fear. And it should be the Lord. And how do we know it's the Lord? I'll just read from 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. It says, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. So when they trouble us, God's going to trouble them. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. So who's taking vengeance? Jesus. It's obviously Jesus. It says it right there. So when it comes to fearing, when Jesus says they fear him that is able to kill and then has power to cast into hell, that is who we should be fearing. But is that, according to this survey, what Americans are doing these days? They're scared to death of Biden if they're Trump supporters, instead of being afraid of God, because that's who we all need to fear. And we know that the Great Tribulation is coming, but should we be terrified of the Great Tribulation? Should we be fearful of what the government can do to us? Absolutely not. Whatever Joe Biden has dreamed up for Americans, especially Christians, because let's just face it, Democrats, they don't like religion, especially Christianity. They hate it. They'll make a big deal out of a Catholic becoming part of the Supreme Court like that means anything. It's not going to get anything done. You know, but real Christians, oh man, if they fear a Catholic, an unsaved Catholic who doesn't want to do anything really, just wants that power, when they ask her what they're going to do about abortions, I refuse to answer that question. What is that showing? That she was weak. She's not going to do a single thing, not a darn thing when it comes to abortion or anything that matters. It's another puppet just being put out there, making you guys think there's real change coming. Vote for me, real change is coming. And it's not. It just isn't. So my hope is not in Biden or any of these politicians, because quite frankly, it's all a big scam. If you don't know anything about it, trust me, you're going to be very disappointed, because it's a broken system. It's a broken system. This presidential system is just broken. And this isn't a political sermon, but let's just face the facts. God's system was the system of the judges. Born again, independent, fundamental judges. Amen?
Amen.
This is back in the Old Testament. And guess what? They still screwed that up. So imagine now with a more inferior system like the presidency of the United States. Not going to get excited. Call me when they start thinking about going back to the systems of the judges. And that's still one vote. That's just a fact. But when they do, if they ever, which they won't, I might get a little excited. And they're like, forget this presidential thing. It ain't working. Let's try the judges again. All right. Let's do it. Who's running for judges? A Catholic, a Mormon. No. That ain't going to work either. But you know what? God never said we're going to have a picture-perfect life, did he? You know, all these people try to accuse him. Oh, he was a cult leader 2,000 years ago. He was a fake and a phony. It was kind of interesting how he recruited. But you know what? Even back then, he was warning his followers, and this is for us as well, John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Didn't say you might have. It says you shall have tribulation. There will be trouble. Bad things are coming. But be of good cheer.
Amen.
What's new? Biden. Biden? So what? Doesn't make a difference to the real Christian. We could care less. He doesn't bring my blessings, and he can't take away my blessings either.
Amen.
And if I did have an AR-15, if they take it, so what? Who cares? People are like, you don't own one, do you? No, I don't. But it's like, here, take it to hell with you. Give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Not the exact same thing, but the concept is real. They want it. Here, take it, whatever. Just let me go win souls. And if not, I'll win him in jail. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer. Guess what it says? Tribulation. Acts chapter number 14. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation. I love this verse. It's a wake-up call. Through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That verse is for you and for me and for everyone to be out there that calls themselves Christians and are terrified that Biden is in charge now. I'm just going to read from Matthew 10. If you can follow me, go to Luke 21. This is the way Christ recruited. I mean, the end result is always the same. Hey, whatever happens in this world, don't worry about it too much. Take no thought, it was Christ taught. And I'll just read from Matthew 10:18. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother, talk about a crazy recruitment tactic, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. That's a crazy recruiting poster, right? Hey, come join my cult. You're going to be hated. You're going to be put to death by your brother, by your father, by your own children. And they'll put you to death, and you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Obviously, that's a physical, not spiritual salvation. We're saved by faith alone. Amen. That's another sermon. But what are we seeing here? Not to worry about it. Don't worry about what Biden claims is going to do. Come after your guns. Come after your house. Come after your dog. Whatever. You know, it doesn't make a difference if he wants to come for everything I have. Christ promised me food, shelter, and a place to live. Maybe in a cave, but he still promised me something over my head. Amen.
Amen.
Plus, he promised me tribulations, temptations, and afflictions. Wow, what a package, right? But hey, life is going to get hard. Tribulation is coming. The great tribulation is coming. But even if you're not part of the great tribulation, you're still going to have tribulation, because God promised that you will suffer for his name's sake. But we are what? Not to worry about it. It is sin to worry about what Biden could do, what the Democrats want to do. It's just a total sin. Why? Because it shows how much you don't trust Christ. It's like you're calling him a liar. It's like if I went up to Raymond, never met him before, and I said, hey, sir, what's your name? My name is Raymond. No, really, what's your name? You don't look like a Raymond. No, my name is Raymond. Come on, man, quit messing around. What's your name? Really, what is it? It's Raymond. Dude, come on. You don't look like a Raymond to me. Probably after the fifth time of me not believing him, he might get a little upset and walk away and never want to talk to me again. True? When we look at God's promises over and over and over again, his commandments over and over again, like the Take No Thought chapter. Who can take a wild guess which chapter that is? It's Matthew chapter number 6. Let me prove it. Verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Any clearer than that? What shall you eat? What shall you drink? Nor yet for your body, what you should put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? He says that again, verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Verse 34. Take therefore, guess what he says? No thought. No thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Every minute has a mission in your life. A lot of times we let our brains just wander and start thinking things we shouldn't because we're not really doing things that we should be. But God has a mission for every minute of your life. Right now it's for you to be here listening to me. Obviously, once you go home, there's always something that God wants you to do. And if you look at your honey to-do list, she'll give you plenty of stuff to do. Amen? And for the men, if you don't have a wife, it is what it is. Your job is to go look for one. You're like, no, I don't believe it. Oh, well, then, what can I tell you? But you're right there in Luke 21, right? I mean, troubles are nothing new. God promises troubles if we follow him. Look at verse number 14. Luke 21:14. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth in wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. He's just preparing your hearts. This could happen to us. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. And what I mean by that is without God allowing it to happen. So whatever happens, you die for the cause of Christ. I'm not saying it's going to happen to everybody here, but just realize that God allowed it. So just consider yourself to be lucky because God says be faithful unto death and he'll give you a better resurrection. He'll give you a wonderful crown of life. But what should our response be when things start getting crazy, when you start hearing rumors, when Biden says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to vaccinate everyone on the planet or whatever. I don't even know what rumors are out there because I really don't care. I don't pay attention that much to politics. Everything I learned from Biden, I learned in the last few hours of just listening to what he had to say, what the biggest fears are, because that's how much I care about politics. I really don't. All I care is what the Bible says, and I'll deal with whatever comes the day it comes. Amen? It says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. What does it mean? Nobody can touch you without God's permission. That's what it's saying. And I love those promises of Psalm 34, and I preached on it many, many times, and I always will, because it seems every time I come up here, it's a good time to bring it up. But look what it says in Psalms 34:4. If you have your Bibles and you want to go somewhere, might as well meet me in Psalms 34:12. Go to Psalms 34:12. In fact, no. Let's just do Daniel for you guys. Trust me, you'll thank me later. Go to Daniel chapter number 6. Go to Daniel chapter number 6. Because as bad as we have it, whoever's in charge, we don't have it as bad as Daniel did when he ended up getting cast into the lion's den. Because here's what happened to him. He ended up just doing what was right, and trouble still came. Because that's what happens when you live godly in Christ. Trouble will come. But even though it comes, it says in Psalms 34:4, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me. This is my favorite part. Not from some of my fears, from all my fears. All this stuff that I just read. You know what? For the people that don't serve the Lord, whatever they fear, the 70-something percent, the 73.6 people in this survey that fears the government, I wouldn't be surprised if the government takes them out some way, shape, or form. I wouldn't be surprised if their guns are taken out first. I wouldn't be surprised if they get the vaccination first. Are they still trying to make that vaccination mandatory for everyone? Whatever. Doesn't matter. But these people who don't fear God, guess what? The top 10 things are probably going to happen to them. What I mean by that? Air pollution, who knows? Global warming, highly doubt that, but you know how it goes. People love dying. Well, I can't help it but read about Ruth and all these different Bible characters. You know, when people aren't right with God, they lose family members. Eli loses his children. They're called sons of Belial. You know, it goes on and on. True? Why? One thing, they're not following the Lord. And that's what it means to fear the Lord, is to follow him. So what's your fear level this morning? Can you say it's a 10 out of 10? You're like, it's not a 10 out of 10. How did I get it up there? Well, we'll talk about it in a second. But you know what? It comes and goes. We just have to be ready. You know, have to realize that, hey, this is what God wants from us. He wants us to fear him and keep his commandments. And I'll get into that a little bit later. You know, but that's the thing that God says. Hey, it is what it is. Set it in your heart. Don't meditate upon these things. Hey, when you get persecuted, hey, it is what it is. Don't worry about yourself. Nothing can happen to you without God's permission. All your hairs are all numbered. God's going to protect every single one of the hairs on your head. If something happens, God's got a lot to happen. And if you keep seeking the Lord, he will hear you and he's going to deliver you, not from some, but from all of your fears. Here's a perfect example. I love it when you see verses in the Bible, statements in the Bible, and God gives you a good example to back up that statement. I mean, what did we read in Psalms 34:4? I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You're there in Daniel? Let's just read about Daniel really quickly. Daniel chapter number 6, verse 1. This is when Darius gets tricked into signing that stupid law about how you cannot ask a petition to any god or any person for at least 30 days. He had a bunch of wicked servants, and they tricked him into signing this law, and the whole purpose of the law was to kill Daniel. So let's just pick up in verse 1. Let's just read the story again. It's a great story to read. It says that pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because he had an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdoms, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. How nice of them. And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing in the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open, in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Talk about a crazy law. Not allowed to pray, period. And if you do, straight to the lion's den. Obviously, we haven't faced anything like that at all in our lives. At least I haven't. Not even close. But what happened? God kept his promise from Psalms. What did Daniel do? Hey, things got bad. A stupid law came into play. Don't you think that Biden is going to pass a stupid law before his term is over? And I guarantee you it's aimed towards us. Because the Democrats hate Christians. Yeah. They hate religion. It doesn't matter. They just are devils. Just what it is. Yeah. So Biden's in power. And yes, he will sign some crazy law to get you all upset, to get you to break this commandment about not taking thought for tomorrow and not worrying about it. I like how Pastor Anderson puts it when people try to bring up all these things. Hey, they're talking about this vaccination, is this and that and whatever. They're talking about taking guns. And Pastor's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't think that far ahead, man. I just don't. And that's a good tip. When people start trying to stress you out, whoa, 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 Brother Barron, I don't think about things that far, brother. Sorry, man. Because it's true. That's what we should do. Take no thought for tomorrow. Worry about today. You took care of today, tomorrow took care of itself. Got plenty of stuff to worry about today. If you're a homeschool mom, you got plenty of homework to worry about today. Plenty of kids to teach. It is what it is. Single guys, you got plenty to worry about today. Go out there, find your wife, do what you have to do. But we see a perfect example of Daniel. And guess what? This isn't just something that was a one-time deal. This is for you, for me, for everyone that walks uprightly, fears God, and wants to do what's right. I mean, look at these precious promises from Psalms 34. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. And what is the sermon called? Make Americans God-fearing again. So what I want to do, I want to start doing that. Because look, I want God to bless you. I want God to give you everything you need. Way to do that is to fear the Lord. Look what it says, Psalms 34, 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. You're not going to lack anything that you need. God says, I'm going to give it to you, but there's a catch. I want you to fear me. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean you're just afraid of God. It means you're also obeying his commandments. Obviously, we're all sinners. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to break God's commandments. But part of God's commandments is to confess your sins when you do break his commandments. So we should be confessing on a daily basis because none of us are perfect. The thought of foolishness is sin. We have thousands of thoughts according to science. I'm telling you, not all my thoughts are perfect and neither are yours. So even if you don't know what to ask for forgiveness for, just say, Lord, I know I had some kind of dumb thought today. I know I had some kind of weird thought. Hey, just, you know, reveal it to me. I'm sorry. Just try to obviously come to the Lord and just ask him to forgive you, because we know not what we do and he will forgive you. Here's another one. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So it's not that God's going to give you everything you want, but he's going to give you everything that's good. Everything that's good in his sight. You'll have it. You're not going to lack. Psalms 34, 12 says this. What man is he that desireth life? Now it gets more specific, because I can just be up here and say, look, we need to fear God. We need to be afraid of him. But it is in the end all. Here's some examples of people that fear God. It's right there in Psalms 34. It says, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may stay good? It's like, hey, who wants to live a good life? Who wants to live a long life? Who loves many days? Who wants to live pretty long? Here's the way you're going to get there. Verse 13, you have to keep thy tongue from speaking evil. Whatever that is, whether it's railing, flattering, whatever God says, this is evil talk. You need to watch your lips and thy lips from speaking guile. Don't be deceitful. We know that flattery is a sin. Flattering people is not a good thing. We know that speaking bad about people, railing, backbiting, we know those things are bad. So if you're a person that wants to be blessed by God, you have to realize that you need to control your tongue. And it says, depart from evil and do good. I mean, I can say that all day long, but I don't know what you're into. I don't know exactly what God, you know, sees that we don't see. But if you obviously know that you're in sin or you have some evil, it says to do good, depart from it, seek peace. You know, that's a big one, being a peacemaker. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So don't worry about it. If binding is up to evil, guess who's going to stop them? The Lord Jesus Christ. Every hair on your head is numbered. Not one of them is going to be damaged by Biden. Amen. Without God allowing it. So relax. It's okay. I'm not saying that there's people in here that are panicking, but let's just face it. 71 million people voted for Biden. I highly doubt that they were all unsaved. I highly doubt that. Some voted for him because they're afraid of Trump. Some voted for Trump because they're afraid of Biden. But in the end, remember, who should we really be afraid of? God. Exactly right. And according to that survey, he's not even in the top 50. But how about you? Is he in the top 10 in your life? I mean, I would have been fine. I probably wouldn't be preaching this if God was number one and maybe like government officials were number two. I'd be like, all right, whatever. I don't need to preach on this. But this is from 2018. Do you think it's gotten better or worse? God is probably number 90 right now. It seems like it when you go door to door. Hey, just want to invite you to church. Oh, no, atheist. Even though there's corona, see what I'm saying? Even though nobody knows what's going to happen, you got all these different protests, cities burning down, and yet people are still not turning out to God. I guess he has to step it up a little bit more. That's probably why he put Biden in power, to scare more people alike. Psalms 34, 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Why? Here's why. Because the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. So why do I want you guys to be a God-fearing individual? So you can have power, blessings, and protection. Who doesn't want to be protected by God? I mean, as I was thinking of this sermon, I was just thinking, man, I wonder if there's been any times where I almost came close to being killed. Who's ever had those thoughts? Who's ever had those experiences? Well, I'll roll some down. Let me give you my top five, starting with number one. Here's one that I remember. This is as far as I can go. Me and my mom and my brothers, we're in Mexico. We're trying to get to grandma. Grandma lives in Chile, Mexico. She lives in Chila, Mexico, not Chile. Chile. Who's ever heard of Chile, Mexico? That's okay if you haven't. A lot of Mexicans haven't. It's a place up in the mountains. So in order for you to get there, you have to take a train or some other transportation, drive a long way. Then you got to go kind of through the jungle. Once you get through the jungle, you come across a river, and this river's not safe. It's one of those rivers where they have a rope tied to one tree and a rope on the other side tied to another one, and this really shafty raft that you get on there and you're just hanging on, and it's just kind of crossing you over. Well, we're waiting at the train station to just start traveling to see grandma. And she wanted us to see grandma because grandma was getting pretty old. So she felt like, hey, I want you guys to meet your grandma, spend some time with your grandma because she was pretty old. And I must have been probably maybe 10, a little younger than that. But we're waiting at this train station. It must have been for hours. Must have been 4, 5, 6 hours. And I felt so bad for my mom because she didn't want to lose her spot. So she was just sitting on her luggage, just moving little by little by little. Finally got close to the window and the announcement comes out. Sorry, folks, but the tickets for this train is sold out. So, of course, all the sighs and I'm going all over the place. But we still have, you know, another train, whatever, a few hours after that. We're going to sell those tickets. So my mom's like, fine, let's do it. Sure enough, finally gets to the window, pays for her tickets. Our uncle takes us to his house. And it is what it is. We start watching TV. News comes up. And sure enough, guess what's on the news? A train wreck. And right away, I'm like, Mom, is that our train? She looked at it and she says, yep, that is our train. Derailed, people died. And I remember the people there in front of my mom, they had a lot of kids. We were just hanging out with them, just playing. And I'm thinking, those kids got on that train. I'm thinking, what in the world? And I'm thinking, man, that could have been us. Why wasn't it us? God just protected us that day. That's just how I see it. Yes, I wasn't saved, but I still believe that God was with me because the angel of the Lord is there. But I think I was just innocent in God's eyes, 10-year-old kid, and I don't think it was time. But that was just my major one. And another one, this one did happen when I was saved. I'm in Iraq. We're clearing a building. Sure enough, boom, go right in there, trying to clear, make sure it's safe. Bam, an explosion. Shook my vision, my brain, my ears started ringing. I didn't know what happened. Sure enough, I'm just yelling, what in the world was that? And I started getting all these calls, couldn't make it out. Start asking for people to just give me a head count. Team leaders start doing head counts. You know, team one good, team two good, team three good. Corpsman down. Our Navy corpsman is down. He got blasted by a grenade on his leg. And it would have been a cool story, except that it was our guys that threw that grenade. And poof, just blew up. And I went right into that building. If I didn't turn the corner, it would have been my leg probably blown off. It was a grenade that was tossed in a bad way where it bounced off a wall, goes right behind us. Lucky we're on the other side of the corner, explodes, and the guys that were on the other side behind us weren't covered very well, but the corpsman, we kept him in the back to keep him safe because he's the one that stitched us up when things went bad. Unfortunately, he ended up getting it in the leg. But that could have been me. And I'm thinking, man, when is this ever going to end? Then I was thinking when I'm on top of a roof, just looking out, covering other guys. And sure enough, I decided to just stand up and take a closer look at people that I thought were kind of having some suspicious activity, messing with a vehicle. As soon as I stand up, what started coming over my head? A bunch of green rounds. What I mean by that is a bunch of bullets that are just flashing green. Well, all those were friendly fire again. I hit the ground like a pancake, started calling on the radio, saying, hey, this is squad whatever. I forgot what my call sign was. Just yelling and screaming, stop firing, it's us. We're not the bad guys. Sure enough, they ceased fire and apologized. No harm, no foul. It was what it was. All right, I'll talk about my teen days. Let's just say this. The wrong person taught me stick shift. It was my buddy. It was raining. We got into a car. We're having a good time. Just slamming on the brakes, spinning that car around. We started driving through the woods. Sure enough, we were driving pretty fast. Slam on the brakes. It's wet. Car keeps going. It keeps going almost to the edge. We hit a rail, but on the other side of the rail, this raging little river just going and going and going. That would have been bad. Inches away from missing it. Lucky enough, we hit it. It was his dad's car, so we just took it to his house, fixed it as best we could, and never drove that thing again. But all these things, I kept wondering, why? Why? I just think that God did protect me. And of course, it is what it is. When you don't know better, it's a different story than when you know better. But not just that. Fearing God is something that's going to help your children as well. I mean, who wants their children to be hurt? Don't you want God to take care of your kids, protect your kids, help your kids out as well? And just thinking of my kids, the times that I believe God protected my kids from being harmed. Maybe my wife remembers this, but one time I started cleaning my car. This is in Northern California. Just started cleaning that thing up, started washing it on the outside. And as I'm washing it, I get to the back door. And the door was pretty much where my son had his little car seat. And as I'm cleaning it, I noticed that right above where my son's head is usually at, maybe about a foot up there, there was an embedded bullet in my vehicle. I didn't live in the nicest city, but somehow, some way, somebody ended up hitting my vehicle with a bullet. And I don't know if it was when I was driving, don't know if it was when it was parked. But man, I can only imagine if it was when my kid was in there as I'm driving, how that bullet just ended up hitting the car perfectly. Where my son's head's here and that bullet's up here. I'm thinking, whoa. At that point, I'm just like, man, I'm just glad that it went the way it did and it just hit my car. But that's just one of many incidents. I mean, not that it happens a lot. Don't want you guys to think that we're just neglecting our kids, always in danger. But this other one, I mean, it is what it is. I'm just throwing this out there, just kind of wake you guys up if you have kids, because they can just run from you in a split second. But I was at somebody's house and one of my kids threw themselves in the pool, and let me just tell you this, he doesn't know how to swim. Lucky enough that that individual saw him and pulled my kid out, but I think God protected us, and it just takes a split second, because next thing you know, they're gone, and they're inside the gorilla cage, staring at a big beast that needs to be rescued. And we were at the zoo, and little Zhuzha almost fell in the pond, and it was just a split second, just out of my sight. The kids are looking at these ducks in the little pond. I see her running, and next thing you know, I see her doing this. And I'm just yelling, Zhuzha, no! And of course, that's not very dangerous. She would have fell and got all dirty and nasty, but this is why I believe that, A, we need to be as right as possible, not just for our sakes, but for our children's sake. And these near-death experiences, you know, hopefully that's the end of that. But I believe God will protect you. And of course, if you haven't had one yet, some of you raised your hand. You're like, yeah, I almost had a near-death experience. Well, you know what? I think God protected you, and you should always just thank him for that. You know, but besides that, how am I going to make America, you know, start fearing God again? How am I going to make Americans God-fearing again? Well, I'm going to start with myself. That's the bottom line. I'm going to start with myself. And how am I going to do that? By reading my Bible. And I'll just quickly go through these, because these are just great reminders, and it's good that I even remind myself during preaching. But Deuteronomy 17:19 says this. If you got your Bible, go to 1 Samuel 4:17. Go to 1 Samuel 4:17. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 17:19, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. To do them. So what is this saying? It's saying by reading God's law, this is obviously something they were supposed to do with the king. If they had a king, he was supposed to read God's word, have it with him every day, read it that he may learn to fear the Lord. Why? Because reading God's word is going to put the fear of God in you. And the good thing about fearing God is the fear of the Lord helps you to depart from evil. You're right there in 1 Samuel 4:17. Let me just read from Judges 16:21. You can just listen up. In Judges 16:21, this is what it says. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. And if you know who that is Samson. Samson. This is a story that I always read, and it does put fear in me, because Samson was a guy that the Philistines caught him and he was in sin. And what happened? The enemy put out his eyes. Could you imagine that? Somebody putting out your eyes? I mean, when I go soul winning, I try to make people understand how bad hell is. And the verse that I use is where it says, if the eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be cast into hellfire. And I tell people, look, you don't have to pluck out your eye to escape hellfire. But the truth of the matter is, if you had to pluck out your own eye in order to escape hell, it will be worth it. Why? Because hell is more painful than somebody taking out your own eye. And of course, in the other verse, it says, if your hand offend thee, cut it off. If your foot offend thee, cut it off. And see, here's the thing. When it comes to my hand, I might be able to cut it off if I had to escape hell. I can easily see myself having an axe and quickly chopping it and calling it a day. Amen? My foot, probably just the same. I'll probably just have somebody just go ahead and chop it off me and call it a day. If I had to do that to escape hell, I can kind of see myself doing it if I had to. But you know one thing I just cannot see me doing? You're going to have to knock me the heck out in order for it to get done, is plucking on my own eye. I can't hand anybody a spoon and say, go ahead, man, tie me up and take out my own eye. I couldn't see myself doing it at all. Because, hey, let's just face it, getting your eye plucked out, I don't think it's going to be the funnest thing in the world. I think it's going to be pretty darn painful, don't you think? And why did the story scare me? Because he didn't protect them at all. He allowed them to be captured. He was in sin. He didn't fear the Lord anymore. He was disobeying his commandments. God allowed the Philistines to get a victory over him. So all these people that are scared to death of Biden, scared to death of the government doing wicked things to us or whatever, whatever you've heard, whatever you think the government's up to, you know what? I'm here to tell you the solution is simply this. Fear God and keep his commandments so you don't end up like Samson, amen? But he's not the only one. You're right there in 1 Samuel chapter number 4. Yep. Let's take a look at this story. It says, and the messenger answered and said, Israel's fled before the Philistines, and there have been also great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. This is the story of Eli, where his sons get killed. And another reason to fear the Lord, obey him, is because if you don't, it can cause your children to not get saved. Eli, I can guarantee you, just wasn't raising up his children the way they should go. Because if that were so, now that they're old, they wouldn't have departed from it. But it says that there were sons of Belial, sons of the devil. They were unsaved. So when we get into sin, hey, if your children are not saved, it could cause them to not go the right route permanently. And that scares me because I don't know, Eli, he was a priest. And I'm thinking, man, if he was a priest and his sons went to the devil, it's like, man, I need to be careful that I don't lose that fear and start allowing myself to get weak spiritually and allowing stuff in my life that could affect the salvation of my kids. Or if they are saved, it is what it is. Have my kids end up committing more sin than me, because guess what? Whatever you do, your sins are going to probably get passed down to your kids, and they're probably going to do even worse. So why do I like this story? Because it does remind me, hey, take heed, because if you lose the fear of God, like Eli, I believe, did, hey, who knows what can happen to your children? This is worst case scenario. They did not get saved. How did that happen? Well, I guess one big clue is if you train up your child in the way they should go, when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. So what can I say? He wasn't training his kids. He wasn't teaching his kids. He was probably just too busy with whatever. He neglected his kids, and now they went to the devil, and now they're in hell. Who wants that to happen to their children? But where did it begin? I believe it began when Eli started to get backslidden. I mean, he's a big guy for crying out loud. He didn't probably start out that way, but you could tell that he just started to slip, go away from the Lord, and I can only guess that it was what it was. He got so backslidden that his kids didn't even take it serious. So be careful losing that fear. Stay in the Word of God. Keep building that fear. Keep yourself obeying God's commandments. Because if you don't, your fear is going to decrease and decrease and decrease. The next thing you know, you start dropping this, you start dropping that. Next thing you know, you're out of church. And before you know it, you're running to the polls because you have to vote for such and such. Because if not, life is going to end. Which is never the case. Unless God lets it end. Amen? But even Jeremiah, look at this scary story. It's about King Zedekiah. It says, but the army of the Chaldeans, they pursued after the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And all his army was scattered from him. Then they took the king and carried him up unto the king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. Did you catch that? Zedekiah is being punished, got into sin, lost the fear of God, started breaking his commandments. Too late for this guy. Not only is he suffering, his sons are suffering as well. Now I can't imagine looking at my children, looking at my son Luke, looking at my son Chris, and them being slain before my eyes. After raising them from little kids to teenagers to adults, and that's how their life ends? Because of my sins? Whatever I did caused them to die in a very bad way? Just another reason to start fearing God. Just another reason to start obeying His commandments. And I don't got time to talk about Miriam. When I read the story of Miriam, that scares me. She got leprosy for talking bad about Moses. And I'm telling you, it scares me for their sake when I see people talking bad about our pastor or other pastors. It's like, man, have you not read? Don't you fear God? What is wrong with you? It's like, man, I need to get away from this person before lightning strikes. It's just crazy how some people can get. But Miriam spoke against Moses, and God didn't like it. And the part that scares me when it says, hey, come out, you three. It's like my kids. Hey, get over here. Oh, man, we're in trouble now. But look at these guys. It's Moses, it's Aaron and Miriam. Come here, you three. It's like, oh, man, we're going to get it. And boy, did they get it. Because they lost the fear of God. They would have never done what they did. They would have just stayed humble and supported Moses. But man, that's a scary story. But not just that, how else am I going to make America God-fearing again? By teaching my kids. You already saw what Eli's kids turned into. Sons of Belial, sons of the devil. I just got to remember, man, I got to start spending more time with my kids, teaching them God's word, however you can. You know, and that's another thing I need to focus on myself. And that's how I'm going to make sure that if my kids grow up, I want to give them the biggest chance of them themselves being God-fearing people that obey the word. Because that's how you're going to make America better. It's not by giving a bunch of freebies, cutting our taxes, giving us refunds or whatever. It's by causing Americans to start fearing God again. That's where the blessing is going to come. Amen? Amen. Yeah, I understand that it's MAGA, make America great again. But it doesn't tell us how. How is it going to make America great again? By giving us all these tax refunds or whatever? No, the only way you're going to make America great again is by causing Americans to fear God again. And maybe we'll never get America to be where it was before. And maybe this country was founded by real Christians. Some people say it wasn't. George Washington was quoted saying, you cannot govern a country without God in the Bible. Hey, that sounds pretty biblical to me. Whether he was saved or not, a Mason or not, that's not the story. The story is, I believe at some point that God did have his hand upon this nation. I believe that people were God-fearing at the time of the founding of our nation. But now look at where God is. Number 79 out of 93. 79 out of 93. I don't know. Maybe we can bring that up a little bit in the next few years. Amen? It's definitely going to be number one when Christ returns. That's for sure. But how are we going to make our children fear God? By reading them stories in the Bible, stories like 2 Kings. You know, I'm not going to read them all, but talking about Elijah when he cursed the children in the name of the Lord. And it came out bears out of the woods, and they tore out 40 little kids. It says 40 and two children. Giving them those stories will put the fear of God in your children. Pastor Anderson, perfect example. Proverbs 30:17, put the fear of God in him. It says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despised to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. So, of course, giving the kids stories like these is going to make them God-fearing people, which will make America better. Amen? Amen. But what else are we going to do? Hey, helping each other grow. How do we do that? By reading your Bible, gaining knowledge, gaining wisdom. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Hey, read your Bible for my sake. Many times, just by walking by, listening to people talk about the Bible, I'm just like, wow, that's a really good point. I like that. I'll use it later. And it's been for both men and females. As we're in vehicles, just going soul winning, just hearing people giving answers, I'm like, wow, that's a really good answer. You know, man, I'm glad I wrote the van today because I needed an answer like that for a question that I had when it did come up. But obviously, besides that, it says that he gave us some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Not everybody is an apostle. In fact, no one is. Prophets? Evangelists? I'm not one. Pastor? Negative. Teacher? That gets us what you're listening today. And so are you. Whatever you know, hey, it is what it is. Hanging out here long enough. I mean, some of you hang out till 11 p.m., I believe. And you're always blaming me because I make you leave. I'm like, I'm not making you leave. Stay here till 1 a.m. Get a sleeping bag. I don't care. Fellowship, because it makes you wiser. Unless all you guys are talking about is Biden and Trump. But I don't think that's the case. There's some people that stay here every single night. Not because they're like, oh man, you know, if we don't stay here, people are going to think we're all messed up. No, they like staying here and fellowshipping. And I hope you're talking about spiritual things. Amen. But that's how we're going to make America God-fearing again. By helping each other out. By spending time with each other. Church is a big thing. Hearing the word of God will bring the fear of God in you. But the last point. I got 6 minutes left. I am watching the clock. I see some of you snoozing. It is what it is. It's life. But that's okay. I forgive you. Apparently my sermon is not making you fear God enough. No, I'm just kidding. But the last and final one. Now, I haven't really thought of this way, but I guess, I should have known better. But how are we going to make Americans God-fearing again? Well, I think we're already doing it by knocking doors. Amen?
Amen.
How so? Well, you know, when we show up, it pretty much makes them mad. True? Reminds me of a certain person in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, right? Because what are the people you run into? You run into people like in Acts 24, like Felix. And I'll just read it. It says, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Hey, some people, when you start talking about hell, they're like, don't use that language around my child. Why? Because they're like Felix. They're getting scared. Hey, great job. Keep it up. But then there's other people, like King Agrippa. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Don't we run into those people as well? Well, they have questions, we answer them. Man, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. But the Quran, brother, I'm still reading it, you know? I'm still checking it out. He knows what I'm talking about. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Hey, can I show you what the Bible says about going to heaven? Sure. Gave him all the answers. Liked what he saw. He just thought it was too good to be true. Almost thou persuadest me. But I got this Quran, man. I don't know. I'm checking it out right now. And I'll tell them, look, the difference between that and us is that that book says you have to give up your life to go to heaven. My book says God give up his life to go to heaven.
Amen.
That's the difference. But you'll run into Agrippa. But who else are you going to run into? It says in Acts 17, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto them. Here's the good news. And believed. That's when you start making America God-fearing again. Because now they have the Holy Ghost. And if they don't get right, guess what? Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he what?
Chasing
it. So we're not going to ever worry about this guy. He will not go that far and start doing all kinds of abominations. God won't let him. But besides that, what else? What else can we do? You know what? I think we got it down. Start with yourself. Build your fear. How's your fear level? Will God be even in your top five? I believe so. But when it comes to that survey, it's pretty sad when he's 79. That's pretty sad. Hey, let's just keep doing what we're doing. Keep preaching the word. Try to get it from 79 to hopefully 9. No, I'm just kidding. But he's for sure going to be number one when he returns and he starts pouring his wrath out. Well, he'll be number one, whether they admit it or not. But don't get discouraged. Hey, what we're doing, we are making America God-fearing again. We are making America better. This is all I want to remind you guys of this morning. Don't worry about Biden. Don't worry about Trump. Even if Trump was in power, he's not doing jack to make America better.
Right.
Never has and never will. With his casinos, ripping off poor people, those are the people that go to casinos. People that have money, they don't need the casinos. They have money. But he has no problem keeping his casinos open. He has no problem making a bunch of crappy, you know, real estate schools that get sued because they're a bunch of scams. This guy doesn't care about anything, won't even release his tax forms, claiming he's the smartest guy in the world. He's got a lot to hide, and you can tell. But one thing he can't hide is that he's not saved. Having any hope in that fool, I mean, look how boastful he was. That's like Bible 101. Don't brag so much. Isn't that what the Bible says? It's like, don't brag so much. Watch your mouth. Don't let everything come out of your mouth. But we're going to win. Look at these people. Look how many people are in our crowd. You guys are amazing. Sleepy Joe has nothing like this. And boom, he beats them. Because you're a fool, Trump. Should have stayed humble. But what are we going to do? Hey, build your fear. Build your family's fear. Let's build each other's fear. Amen? And let's keep building the world's fear. Even by showing up. You let them get mad. It's not in vain. Apostle Paul, remember? He was mad at Christians. A lot. To the point where he was killing them. True? Yet he heard the word, and God said, hey, I'm done with him. Let me step in and do something. Met him on the road to Damascus, and you guys know the rest of the story. Ended up getting saved. So yes, you're going to run into Paul out there knocking doors. He's going to be mad at you. But just pray that God does something with that guy. Yes, you're going to run into Felix, who's going to tremble in fear and not get saved and go to hell. Same thing with Agrippa. You almost persuaded me. But all this does one thing. What does it do? It starts bringing people back to the God-fearing state that they need to be. Saved or unsaved, it is what it is. It scares people when we show up. True? Why do you think they want to shut us down? Why do you think they banned Pastor Anderson from all these countries? Because he's scaring them. He's scaring them with the true God.
Yeah.
He's making the world God-fearing again. We're going to worry about our country, amen? Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for everything that you've done. And Lord, it is what it is. We got a devil in power, but who really cares? Let's focus on what matters. Let's focus on what's right. Let's focus on you. Let us fear you and not to be worried about these things that are not going to matter. Not to think too much in the future. In fact, not to worry about it at all. Let us just trust you always, dear God. And I thank you once again for allowing me to spread a little bit of word this morning. And I ask you to bless everyone that's here this morning, dear God. Give them safety. Take care of them. Send your angel to protect them all, Lord. And help us all to fear you more. Help us all to obey you more. Because that's what you said in Ecclesiastes. That's the whole conclusion of the matter, to fear you and keep your commandments. And I ask you to do all this for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.